Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There may be times when we are inclined to think of the whole world much like Nathanael considered Nazareth. Nothing good could come out of it. Much of the world does cause us to feel the bad is getting the best of the good with all the wars, the disease, the riots, the blasphemies, the moral erosion. We may be tempted to be like Peter after he requested to walk on the water, but began to look at the turbulent seas about him and began to sink. If we center our thoughts only on what is deplorable, we may well fail to see many things that actually brighten life's path, even in the midst of so much that is regrettable. After Israel requested and was allowed to have a king, Samuel came before the nation to remind them of all that God had done for them in the past, with provisions and protections, abundant blessings both physical and spiritual. There was good reason for that reminder, lest they forget their blessings and the source of them. And so for a few moments, think with me of some of our very real and significant things that ought to cause us to lift up our heads and raise our voices in praise and thanksgiving that they exist. In Luke the 15th chapter, verse 7 and also verse 10, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now friend, if one repenting, if this can cause joy in heaven, should it not cause joy here on earth among those whose goal is heaven? Is it not wonderful to see people with conviction and knowledge and understanding to have the courage to make a commitment for matters that are right and eternal? Why, this helps to strengthen our faith in the power of righteousness even in a wicked world. It restores our confidence that there remain many people of honest and sincere heart who, when they're taught, will put the Lord first in their lives. Such as this brightens the path of the Christian. And life is brightened when you have occasion to see people truly living daily lives and fulfilling their Christian duties. And many people are doing many good things for the cause of Christ, without fanfare, without notoriety, without attracting attention. There are those who have a genuine concern for the lost, and they're busy demonstrating that concern by trying to win souls to salvation. And they perform acts of kindness and benevolence. They express sympathy. They give assistance. They even look for opportunities to do good. It bothers me to have some school or some paper or even a church have a big day of honoring and celebrating what they call the Christian of the Year. Oh, I remember seeing that, and it just absolutely turned me away. How do they know who is the Christian of the Year? They have the right to recognize brethren for their work's sake, to be sure. But such a distinction smacks of egotism and haughtiness, a judgmentalism that is absolutely out of bounds. As far as we know, or they know, the one God considers to be the Christian of the Year may not even be noticed by brethren. It may be some humble, hard-working, sacrificial servant of God that goes about living godly without all of the hip-hip hoorah that may stir around some. To know and see people as a humble servant, why, that's refreshing, especially in the midst of evil and in the midst of these so-called honors that are bestowed with big names and big purses. Life is brightened when we are privileged to learn of some parent being attentive to the physical and spiritual welfare of their children. The parents bring their children to worship. They study the Bible with them. They make sure the children know how to choose their companions. They're concerned about the development of their mind and their talents. They're giving them the nurture and the admonition of the Lord by word and by example. So many fathers and mothers have abandoned their children, and some do not even recognize that they have done this. Some have turned their upbringing of their children over to some child care center, or to grandparents, or to a babysitter, while they pursue their careers of money and glamour. And they naively think that all is well simply because they supply adequate funds for the fashions and fads and material things. Parents often sacrifice considerably, however, for the welfare of their children, but it is such a real blessing to the child and a real lift to observe parents making that special effort to provide for their spiritual guidance and their spiritual instruction. It is not too hard to detect that child whose parents are on the job. Those children are not left to themselves. They're not turned over to somebody else. When you see Ephesians 6 and verse 4, "Fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord," when you see that being obeyed, does it not make life a little brighter? It is strengthening and encouraging to take note of how many react in time of crisis and hardship in a wonderful manner. Disruption comes into the lives of people. Sickness and death, financial stress, various burdens, they often break up upon families, even individuals, as they sail the stormy seas of life. But there be those who seem to continue their course. They are like a mighty vessel that encounters rough seas, but they persist on the way, possibly rocking and tossing somewhat on the stormy waves, but not being knocked from the goal. They refuse to allow themselves to be submerged beneath the slashing upheavals that can characterize periods of life. Knowing how we ought to react to problems, and reacting that way, is sometimes very different. It's easier to say what we should do than it is to do it. Sometimes when beset with adversities, we do not always do our best thinking anyway. We're subject to weakness, and we have our frailties. But our own problems are made lighter and seem to be less, and our courage is raised when we're privileged to see others taking their lumps in life and handling them successfully. We see how valuable a strong faith is, and we're better equipped to bear up and to press on. Many never take their eye off the Lord, even in the blinding events of difficulties. I suggest to you that these things brighten our own path of life. And while many are indifferent and rebellious, and just look like go out of their way to do what they ought not, it is most refreshing to know that there are many who go out of the way to do what they ought, and to do according to God's word. Many young people have brought disgrace upon themselves and their families and the church and shame to their generation. But how fine it is to see some clean-cut, ambitious boy or girl who believes in respecting their parents, respecting things holy and sacred, have high moral standards, and who take seriously the admonition of Paul to Timothy to be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Now we do not doubt that the tragedy of many young people is that they have, as we speak of it, gone to the dogs. And while we bemoan this, and we make efforts to prevent this, and we try to recover those who have fallen, we're made to realize that there are many Christian young people who are not going to the dogs and who are not going into the wicked ways of life. They rely on God because they've had good teaching and they have the good wisdom to apply that teaching. Many young people have been called upon to sacrifice school honors and position and acceptance and maybe some other things that they deserve because they would not compromise righteousness and His kingdom before all else. They care for the aged, the neglected, the anxious, the less fortunate. They sympathize with the bereaved. They stand for the truth even when the odds are stacked against them. And even when other brethren will take a position of the wrong, they will stand. And they are not ashamed to the world to know that they serve the Lord and they follow His will. I say to you, this is something for which every child of God can give thanks. Our nation has a day that we call Thanksgiving Day. I contend it is a good celebration, because it calls to mind how God has blessed this land in ages past. We do ourselves and our nation a favor to consider the good things that happen and exist in the world, so often dimmed with gloom and doom. What is good deserves commendation. We know that it is necessary to condemn evil, and we do not hesitate to do it. But we also believe it is necessary to commend the right and speak words of appreciation for those who will do the right. This is giving honor to whom honor is due. There is still much good in our sin-sick world. We stand in awe at the wonders and the beauties of nature. We are amazed at the providence of God, the sweetness of fellowship of faithful brethren. We enjoy the spiritual blessings in Christ, such as the forgiveness of sins and the fellowship with deity, the assurance of heaven to the faithful. We ought to be ready to strew flowers along life's paths and give thanks for all others who do the same. Yes, every day for the Christian, when he sees these good things, it brightens his path of life, and we have every day as a day of thanksgiving. Once Elisha was so discouraged that he thought he was the only one in Israel wanting to do what God wanted done. He had some reason to think that way because of the behavior of the people. But God told him that there were 7,000 in Israel who had not bowed their knee to Baal. And surely there are the proverbial 7,000 yet who want to follow God. We must put forth effort to locate one another. Be helpful to one another, lift up one another, strengthen one another, and brighten the path of one another. We are constantly reminded that the conflict between good and evil rages on. But we can be motivated and be more active servants of God by looking at the good that remains, as well as attacking the evil. We make a mistake to do one without the other. God's power is in His Word. And we must learn it, we must follow it, we must teach it, we must defend it, we must uphold it, and we must give others an example of what to do and of what to believe. That which brightens the path of life, more than anything else, is the spiritual salvation that God offers through Jesus Christ. It can belong to all who will hear the word and believe it, repent of their sins and confess their faith in Christ, and are baptized into Christ, and those who live faithfully as a child of God. Such people have the justified hope of eternal glory with God, because they have God's own promise that heaven will be their eternal home. Surely, such hope, such salvation, such a promise, brightens the pathway of life. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.